all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Monday, January 23rd. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota, at least as far as I can tell, because, you know, it's still dark out. But we are going to have a rather busy morning here on the lake talking to folks. They include Dr. Kristen Lyerly, in part because yesterday marked the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court ruling that was supposed to protect a woman's private health care decisions and did for 49 years. It was reversed in June of last year, you'll recall, by some right-wing justices who lied during their confirmation hearings about how abortion rights were settled law. Well, Dr. Lyerly talked to and accompanied the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services during a Friday visit to Wisconsin as part of the fight to restore women's control over their own bodies. Then coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, State Senator Jeff Smith of the Eau Claire area, recently reelected for a new term, will help us preview Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address, again scheduled for Tuesday night. Also talk about the fight to strike down the state's abortion ban, written in 1849 and put back into effect when Roe v. Wade was struck down. And also, Senator Smith is among others who have called on Bob Spindell to step down or be removed from the Wisconsin Elections Commission over an email that he sent earlier this month bragging about efforts by the Milwaukee area Republican Party to suppress voter turnout. Spindell has said he won't step down and, in fact, had rather belligerent comments made on weekend talk shows. We'll play a little bit of that and reaction to that from Senator LaTanya Johnson. We also had a couple of Supreme Court candidates who were on the weekend talk shows, including Judge Janet Protasiewicz from the Milwaukee area, and Dan Kelly, the conservative former justice who's trying to get back on the court. So we'll go through all of those comments as well. If you'd like to join us here on the program, the phone numbers are 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And Aaron Zommers will be there to take your calls. Mr. Z, good morning. Did you have a good weekend?
Good morning. I did have a pretty good weekend. My older sister and her daughter came to visit me in Madison here. It's always really nice to see them. And as happens when you have four-year-olds, every time I see her, I'm always shocked and surprised by just how big she's getting and how like articulate her sentences are and all that stuff.
It is. It's very noteworthy. I have obviously a grandson who's 3 and a half, about to turn four, and every time my one daughter sends, you know, the latest thing that he has said, you know, the words that they've added to their vocabulary, you're like, where did this come from? And of course, the oldest of our four grandkids is 16 years old now. And we've said for, you know, almost 16 years to our other daughter, you got to tie a brick to his head. We don't want him growing up. You know, one of the more touching things I'd ever seen, and keep in mind, this is somebody that had three grandsons before our first granddaughter, but it was a little plaque we saw once, and it said, "Never let little boys go to bed. They always wake up another day older." And I totally get that, because you think you just want that little bit of innocence to stick around, but I think as you're going to find out with your niece, it just gets better, especially as they're, boy, when they get to the point like the 16-year-old, when they learn sarcasm and learn to master it, which I think starts at about age 4 for some of them, that's a hoot.
I was going to say, my family has always been extremely sarcastic, so I'm sure that she's going to pick that one up pretty quick.
Yeah, no doubt there. Apologies if anything sounds a little out of sorts this morning. I've decided to try a pair of headphones for the first time. My computer speaker seems to have worked fine for all the weeks and months I've done this, but just I still want to hear just a little bit more detail. So I thought headphones would be useful, and I'm still making adjustments to those. So apologies if there's a few too many ums and ahs that there normally would be, but we'll get through that together, won't we? Let's do some quick sports headlines for this Monday morning. The Milwaukee Bucks lost to Cleveland over the weekend on Saturday, 114-102. And that is because Giannis Antetokounmpo missed his fifth straight game. The Bucks are 2-3 without him in the lineup. However, Giannis and Chris Middleton are listed as probable to return to the lineup later tonight versus the Detroit Pistons. Chris Middleton has missed 18 games going back to December 15th. So they play Detroit tonight and they host Denver on Wednesday. The Badgers Northwestern men's basketball game did not happen over the weekend because of COVID-19 health and safety protocols with Northwestern. That game is going to be played this evening, 5:30 at Northwestern, and it'll air on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin will still play at Maryland on Wednesday as scheduled. And Sal Bando has passed away, the three-time world champion with the Oakland A's and the former Milwaukee Brewers executive, passed away Friday night in Oconomowoc after a five-year battle with cancer. He was 78 years old. Sal Bando hit 254, lifetime 242 homers, and more than 1,000 ribbies in 16 seasons with the A's and the Brewers. Bando spent his last five seasons in Milwaukee, including the first winning team for the franchise in 1978 and the first postseason team in 1981. He was the Brewers GM from October of 91 till August of 1999. Again, Sal Bando was 78 years old. When we come back, we will take a look at some of the headlines in Wisconsin over the past week. Right after this, this is Up North News Radio.
Fishing buddy that I recognized. I said, hey, Judge, old buddy, old pal, I'll pay you that $100 all year if you get me out of this spot. So he gave my friends a little fine to pay.
I didn't have a lot of songs about judges, so I just went with Jerry Reed's, you know, I don't know if classic is the right word from the 1970s, but we'll talk more about judges and the candidates running for state Supreme Court coming up in just a sec. First, a reminder, there are many ways to listen or even watch what we do here. You can watch the Up North News radio show every morning, weekdays, online through Facebook. Just go to the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page for Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And if you miss a show on the radio, or you want to go back and listen to any of our shows, go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. When you click on any show, you'll see a listing of all of our recent episodes, and you can listen to those episodes there, or you will find the links right there to subscribe to our shows as a podcast with Apple, Spotify, and much more. And you can listen live on the Civic Media app. And one more reminder, you can call us up anytime. Well, you could, except I just covered up the phone screen, so I couldn't have seen you if you were calling. There we go. Now I can see it. So if you call 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155, you'll get to reach the show that way, Aaron.
Yeah, and there's something else that you might remember is on the Civic Media website at the moment.
$1 million.
There it is. Yes, coming up on this Thursday at 9 a.m., you can begin filling out the application to be part of the Civic Media $1 million giveaway. That's right. Civic Media is giving away $1 million in free advertising time to small businesses all around Wisconsin on all of our various Civic Media stations throughout the state. And there's more than a half dozen of them now. I think we're closing in on a dozen. And I can't think of a better opportunity for anybody in a small business to get a chance to advertise on the radio for free and work with the radio station itself to design an ad campaign. Again, for free. It's a pretty good price. To do that, go to civicmedia.us/million and get all the rules to find out how, starting this Thursday, you can be part of that $1 million ad space giveaway. A reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media and its radio stations. Up North News and its parent company, Courier Newsroom, bring you state-based news websites like Up North News in Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and several other states around the country. And you can find us at upnorthnewswi.com. on the website, a couple of recent stories of note. You have 10 accomplishments from the first 2 years of the Biden-Harris administration, a bit of a year in review of what happened during the first half of Joe Biden's first term in office. Also on the website, passenger rail in Wisconsin, what we know, what we don't, and what's next. Now, passenger rail expansion is something we've been talking about here in Wisconsin, or at least parts of Wisconsin, for 20 plus years now. And for a time, it seemed like Wisconsin was making some great progress in that area. The Great Recession of 2008 came along, and then Scott Walker came along, and now we are years behind what will be eventually a substantial and incredible upgrade to the infrastructure of Wisconsin. But if you look at that article, you'll find out, you know, what's been done to this point and the things to keep in mind as, shall we say, that metaphorical train continues on down the tracks. All right, let's take a listen to what was on some of the Sunday shows here. We'll start with Upfront, which is a production of WISN-TV and distributed across the state out of Milwaukee. On Upfront, they talked to Milwaukee Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and I will add parenthetically, I'm saying it right. We've checked. We've listened to the audio from her, Protasiewicz. And to tell you what a good little Polish family I come from, I've been able to spell that correctly from the first get-go, and I don't know why. But anyway, Janet Protasiewicz was on. She's one of four candidates running for a spot on the state Supreme Court. Before we hear from her, let me give the background again. I don't think we can do it enough because this election is so important. Conservatives control the court 4-3 right now, but a conservative justice is retiring. So if one of the progressive justice judges were to win that seat, then progressives would control the court 4-3. And that would be a chance to revisit things like the gerrymandered maps and the state's 1849 abortion ban and things like that. There are two progressive judges running, Janet Protasiewicz out of Milwaukee, Everett Mitchell out of Dane County. There are two conservative candidates who are running, Jennifer Doro, a judge from Waukesha County, and Dan Kelly, a former state Supreme Court justice and appointee of Scott Walker, who then lost to Jill Karofsky when he tried to run for a full 10-year term on his own. Now he's trying to get back on the court. So back to Judge Protasiewicz. She has been very vocal from the outset about, you know, what her values are, which has been rather refreshing because we're used to this kind of coded language about, you know, Dan Kelly, for example, saying he's a constitutional conservative. Well, what does that mean? And frankly, given what conservative nominees have said in the past, I think I'd rather they be more explicit about their values so that they're not surprising us with things like reversing 50 years of precedent in Roe v. Wade or passing Citizens United, to allow unlimited campaign cash into elections and such. So Justice Protasiewicz has been rather upfront on what she thinks about the Dobbs decision, which overturned abortion rights in this country, as well as the 1849 abortion ban here in Wisconsin. And so on Upfront, she was asked, you know, rather point blank about this. And she says it is important to know your candidate's values because you've got to be able to say that a map, for example, isn't just gerrymandered. But if you look at the law, those maps are downright, well, she just comes right out and uses the word. Here it is.
When we say that the maps are rigged, those maps are rigged. I don't think you could sell to any reasonable person after they know the facts any other conclusion. I think when you talk about the Dobbs decision, a decision which I call fraught with judicial activism from the right on our United States Supreme Court, I think that people should know what my values are in regard to women's reproductive rights. We need change on the Supreme Court.
She just comes right out and says, this is where I am. No guesswork. Now, she notes as well that conservatives are expected to line up behind the ideology of Republican politicians. It was politicians who rigged the maps and who attacked women's health freedom. And then it was justices conservative justices who lined up behind that ideology as opposed to looking for the rights that are found in the Constitution for voting and for, you know, women to determine what to do with their bodies. And Protasiewicz says, don't expect either of the conservative candidates, Jennifer Durrow or Dan Kelly, to give those issues a fair and impartial review if they're elected.
I can tell you without a doubt, if one of the conservative justices is elected, I can tell you without a doubt, the 1849 abortion law will remain on the books. I can tell you without a doubt, the maps will stay the way the maps are. I can tell you that if those issues come to the court and I am elected to the Supreme Court, there's a fresh look at all of those issues and the opportunity for change and the opportunity for common sense to come into play.
And common sense would come into play. If you poll Wisconsinites, if you poll Americans, the overwhelming majority, bipartisan majority, say that maps ought to be fair. They ought not to be rigged. You have to bring in such a political bias to have maps as poisonous as these ones are. But unfortunately, after years of partisan involvement in judicial elections, we're in the spot that we're in. Now, what's rich is that you have a conservative like former Justice Dan Kelly talking on Wisconsin Public TV's Here and Now on Friday, complaining about the cash that's involved and the issue advocacy groups that are involved, which is pretty odd from someone who's getting the support of, you know, Dick and Liz Eline, the billionaires who basically saved Ron Johnson by spending tens and millions of dollars of their own money and political action committee ads that were just so beyond the pale and disgusting. And the Elines are coming in for Dan Kelly. And yet Dan Kelly has the audacity to say, I don't know why all these groups are getting involved.
A lot of what I hear is that there are issue advocacy groups that are going to spend a lot of money in this race because they want, frankly, one of my opponents, maybe two of my opponents, who are talking about their values and what they're going to bring to the court as rules of decision. And these interest groups are latching on to that and saying, yes, that's what we want. We want someone on the bench who's going to bring these particular politics to the work of the court, to import that poison into the judicial process. We want that. And what I've heard is there's going to be a lot of money that is going to come in to support that.
Yeah, Dan, we know a lot of money is going to come in from issue advocacy groups from the right side of the spectrum. It's not going to be pretty, I think, for Wisconsin voters to watch this happen. It hasn't really ramped up yet, but it's going to because the primary election comes up in under a month now on February 21st. And that will determine of those four candidates, which two advance to the April general election. And it is critically important that people vote in this February primary. And I know normally February primary turnout is ridiculously small. But in this case, for this state Supreme Court seat, if the two conservative candidates get the most votes in February, there won't be a progressive choice come April for the final decision on who's on that court. It could be the two conservatives. It could be the two progressives. It could be one of each. But we won't know till we find out who all shows up. What we'll do next is, I do want to hear as well from Bob Spindell, the Wisconsin Elections Commission member, who was praising his party's efforts to suppress the votes of color from communities of color in Milwaukee. And then there's a response from LaTanya Johnson, the state senator from the Milwaukee area. Again, both coming from Upfront on WISN. And I think we'll end up playing those, oh, at about, you know, 7:06 or so at the top of the next hour. We're going to want to focus more on what Bob Spindell has to say. But, you know, to summarize it, he is not apologetic in the least that it was discovered that he had sent an email earlier this month and, you know, bragged about the lower turnout. Now, he is saying that his contacts or his comments have been taken out of context, is what I'm trying to say, and that all they did was they poured a ton of resources into Milwaukee, he says, into Black radio. And as a result, he says, you know, that many of these people, love his choice of words, many of these people have become disaffected and disenchanted with coming out to vote. And Senator LaTanya Johnson rightly responds that if you wanted to try to communicate with the voters in the Milwaukee area based on your merits as a Republican, that would be one thing. But you're spending so much time just trying to trash Democrats, trash the process, basically get people to not vote. That's voter suppression. And Spindell was right to be called out for it. Kristen Lierley joins us after the break on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
I know that I'm running out of time. I want it all. And I'm wishing they stop trying to turn me off. I want it all.
I have a feeling this might have been some of the inspirational music for the tens, I would dare say hundreds of thousands of women who marched from Hartford to Honolulu, as one person put it, in women's marches over the weekend. Something that was started 6 years ago after the inauguration of Donald Trump. And now, because of the Trump era and the resulting striking down of women's abortion rights through Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision, have now become marches to say we're not going anywhere and the fight continues for women's health equality. And Dr. Kristen Lierley has been part of all of that, which included on Friday accompanying the U.S. Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, during a visit to Wisconsin. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
I am so good. Happy Monday morning, Pat.
I don't know when you rest. You were moderating a discussion in Milwaukee on Friday about this issue and staying busy with all sorts of other activities. But you know, let's just jump right into the secretary's visit, because we knew that he was coming to Minnesota first. Mm-hmm. And it was while he was there, the legislature took the next natural step and actually codified abortion rights into state law. And in Wisconsin, we are so far from that. And so when you talk to the secretary, what kinds of things did he have to say about Wisconsin and about what the Biden administration is trying to do?
He spoke of Wisconsin as if we were stuck in the medieval ages. And that is so hard for those of us who live here and practice here and take care of each other here. But the truth is, when you look at the whole country and where everybody is, Wisconsin is a brutal place for young women and young families to live right now, and they recognize that. So that was the point of his tour, to go to Minnesota, see a place where they realized what they could do for the people and some of the progress that they could make, and then come to Wisconsin and point out, hey, you guys are really failing your people here, and let's talk about some solutions.
And by you guys, we're talking about a legislature controlled by people who get a minority of votes in the state, but because they were able to win in 2010 and redraw the maps in 2011 and politicize the state Supreme Court, they're holding on to power despite being completely out of step with the views of a majority of Wisconsinites.
Yeah. And the people don't have a voice, because no. Here in Wisconsin, we don't have the ability to do a ballot referendum like they do in so many other states like Michigan and Kansas, where the people have said, wait a minute, we don't like what you're doing, so we're going to take matters into our own hands. But the people can't do that here. A ballot measure has to come from the legislature. And we know where the legislature is at with this issue and so many others.
It's funny, because this is a legislature which last week okayed a ballot issue, but it has something to do with, you know, being able to be eligible for welfare benefits with something that is already state law. It's already on the books. It's a completely meaningless referendum designed to gin up voter turnout for the state Supreme Court election. I mean, it's political malpractice.
It is. They lost their bearings a long time ago. So every time they do something like this, it's just so consistent with their previous behavior. But it's so fundamentally wrong. And it's easy for us as people just to feel helpless about it, but we're not. There are things we can do.
Let's turn away from the politics for a second and into the personal, because something I want to read to you was a Twitter thread from Diane Horvath. She's an OBGYN, and her Twitter handle is GYN, you know, gin and tonic, but gin is spelled G-Y-N because she's a gynecologist. What she has to read, what she says and said over the weekend from where she is in the Washington, D.C. area, to all the young people at March for Life, which is the anti-abortion rights marches that were going on this weekend as well. To all the young people at March for Life, when you, your friends, or your partners need abortions, and statistically many of you will, we'll be here for you without judgment. There's still time to extend your empathy to people who need abortions. Very few people I see in clinic ever thought they would need to be there, and some tell me they were against abortion until they needed one. I used to be anti-abortion, she writes, and I remember what it was like to be so certain that I was right and everyone else was wrong. My change of heart happened gradually and started with learning more about the reasons people have abortions. I learned about the history of unsafe abortion prior to Roe and spoke with people who lost friends and family to unsafe abortion. I was floored to learn that my conservative Christian grandmother was pro-choice. She was a nurse and saw women die preventable deaths, and it changed her. When I knew better, I did better. I decided to go to medical school and become an OBGYN so that I could provide abortion as part of my practice. I talked about abortion publicly and volunteered my time for reproductive and public health causes. Once my eyes were opened, I could never pretend I hadn't seen. Abortion is a normal part of healthcare. Being able to decide if, when, and how to have a family is a moral and societal good. My hope for you, young people at March for Life, is that you don't run from opportunities to increase your understanding and expand your empathy. If the beliefs given to you by your parents and community no longer resonate with you, it's okay to change your mind. I can't add to that. It's so well written.
Diane is a dear friend of mine, actually.
I did not know that.
Uh-huh. It's a small community. She did her training at the University of Minnesota, and we've done a lot of work together. And, you know, she hit the nail on the head. I can't tell you the number of people who, in the brief period of time that I worked at Planned Parenthood in Sheboygan, just doing medication abortions, I can't tell you how many people came in and led with, "I don't believe in abortion, but..." or "I am pro-life, but..." And then went on to just share their story about how they were different and this was necessary for them within the context of their lives. And I think for some, with the conversation that we had as they were doing their decision making, and some of them chose to go through with the abortion and some of them didn't, you know, whatever is the best thing for them is the right thing. But I think the most important thing to remember is you don't know what somebody is dealing with until you walk in their shoes and understand the context of their lives. So beautifully said, Dr. Horvath, as always. And yes, we as abortion care providers, as OBGYN doctors, we are here for you. We want to hear your deepest, darkest secrets. We want to know your stories so that we can help you solve these problems without judgment, so that you can live your best possible life.
I guess it brings it back to politics, although I think it's more ideology than politics, but it just seems to me so often that on the conservative side, there is a position that is held on for everybody else. Everybody else must have this position, but the moment that that position happens to me, I will turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, people who are opposed to abortion rights until they find themselves in a circumstance. The example I always use is people who are against LGBTQ rights. They are as anti-gay as it gets until their son comes out or their daughter or somebody else close to them. And then suddenly they have this awakening, if you will, because let's call it woke, because that's what they love to make fun of that. But it is an awakening. And it's part of the reason that A Christmas Carol still sticks with us, mm-hmm. is that people eventually are visited by spirits, not actual ghosts, but a change in life circumstances where they go, "Oh," and I don't know what we have to do to get people to be more empathetic rather than learn these lessons the hard way.
Some people figure it out, but other people don't. And they just find this little place in their brain where exceptionalism rules. Like, I'm different. I need an abortion, or I need whatever it is, but I am not like those other people who are in that situation. No, I am special. And sometimes those people figure it out and they slowly adopt a different way of looking at things, but often they don't. They go back to the way that they were before. And then they carry that little nidus like an infection deep inside their body, knowing that it's inconsistent with their beliefs, but they shove it down deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually, if it ever bursts open, it's incredibly painful. They don't have the structure. They don't have the psychological fortitude to deal with it because they've never dealt with it. And I think that those are the people who end up having depression and anxiety associated with, and this is not just abortion, but it's, you know, anything that happened in your previous life that you didn't deal with in an honest and straightforward manner.
Yeah, it is about having that kind of honesty. So there were all kinds of marches yesterday and over the weekend throughout for the 50th anniversary of the Roe decision. And as I mentioned, you know, they are an offshoot of the first women's marches in 2017. You've talked to so many women who did not think they would ever be politically active, not necessarily on a partisan standpoint, but at least on an issue standpoint, that they would be active. And I don't even think now, after all these years and after the new people that got involved this past year in elections, I don't think we're done yet seeing women and their allies who are currently quiet and not active, but that's going to change.
Did you see the coverage of the Raging Grannies in Madison?
No.
Yes, there is this group of older women who are so upset because they fought for this the first time around, and here we are again. So it's wonderful to see these different groups, different demographics, men, young people, older people standing up and recognizing that this is about personal freedom and liberty. So yeah, Pat, 100%.
So we've talked before about how this then dovetails into the state Supreme Court race. And I have to be honest, I thought maybe there'd be, you know, just an overwhelming amount of election exhaustion, voter fatigue. I don't really get that sense. I do think that people do understand that this is a very important state Supreme Court race that will determine whether that ban written in 1849 stays on the books and whether these rigged, corrupt maps stay on the books. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, we obviously I live in a bit of a bubble here, but I think turnout is going to be better than it usually is, which is terrible. Okay, I'm setting the bar low, but I still think more people get it.
Yeah, I think it's turnout is going to be high. We are going to get attention nationally. I mean, I'm hearing from a lot of people across the country. Money is going to be pouring in just like it does for other elections, but usually not for the spring election. Mm-hmm. But we are one of the only states that really has anything exciting going on this spring. And there's the potential to really make some fundamental change here in Wisconsin. Fundamental change that involves not only repealing this 1849 criminal abortion ban, like you mentioned, but also fixing our gerrymandering problem. And if we can fix that, we can fix the rest of it. So the potential here is really unlimited, and it is very exciting. But I have concerns.
Yes.
You want to hear?
I do.
I'm very concerned about Jennifer Doerr, and here's why. She, as we know, went to the Christian Broadcast Network University, now known as Regent Law, for her law degree. She clearly approaches politics from a very conservative standpoint, but people didn't see that when they saw her on TV during the Waukesha parade trial. So I think that many voters are not familiar with where she may rule on numerous issues that will affect us deeply. And they'll just vote because, you know, she's a nice looking lady who handled that Waukesha parade trial pretty nicely. So I think that for those of us who recognize how dangerous of a candidate she is, I think we really need to get out and have conversations with people.
And those conversations can only come if enough people get involved. And I know you have been appearing on Kirk Bankstead's, you know, Minocqua Brewing Company Up North podcast, and he is actually planning something for February 2nd in Madison at the Rigby to try to help get people signed up for volunteer shifts to go out and talk to people about the importance of voting in this state Supreme Court election. And I'm quite sure that's what you're doing through February 21st and through April, is just telling people there's this race they need to know about.
It's so important. And you have to have these conversations and just make sure that people understand what's at stake and who these candidates are. And may I mention that it's also Kirk's birthday on February 2nd, Groundhog Day.
So go say happy birthday to Kirk as well. And we'll share more of the details as we get closer to the date. We will talk about this day in history and music history as Dr. Lyerly sticks around.
I love it.
It's right after this. You're up north.
Just like fire.
My life has been a tapestry of rich and royal hue, an everlasting.
There are so many songs from Tapestry that we could play. Carole King's album, that on this day in music history in 1977, and you're going to say, wait, Pat, Tapestry came out before 1977. Yeah, but it's on this day in music history that it set a new record, 302 weeks. On the Billboard Albums chart. And then it just kept going from there. I'm quite certain it's still one of my favorite albums. And it was, you know, going back to the mid-70s when my mom played it on an 8-track.
That's crazy. Do the math there. 302 weeks.
Well, that would be, 6 years at that point. So
that's wild.
Yeah. Yep. And I should have, I don't know, maybe Aaron can, no, Aaron's playing music here. At some point, we'll look up just... total sales on that and how long it actually stayed on an album chart, because again, it has tremendous staying power. Did you ever see was it called Beautiful? What was the play about Carole King's life called? And I actually caught the performance of it in Madison once, and I'll have to check that too, but again, highly recommend. All right, let's get to 1965. We've got a women's theme going here,
although before we get to that,
let's do it.
Here's Pat Clark. What's that?
Tapestry sold an estimated 30 million copies worldwide.
30 million copies. That's sensational. All right, here's Pat Clark from 1965.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go.
Where is it, Kristen?
Downtown.
There we go. Downtown hit number one on this day in 1965. What's special about that? She was the first British woman to reach number one in the rock era on U.S. charts. The last time a British woman did that was 1952 previously. But also, while we're in the girl power segment here, it was on this day in 1849 that Elizabeth Blackwell is awarded her M.D. by the Geneva Medical College of Geneva, New York, making her the first female doctor in the United States.
In 1849, the first female doctor in the United States in 1849.
That is way back, then. Way back. Crazy. And it's almost as if answering that kind of a quote unquote threat, men were putting an abortion ban on the books in Wisconsin. That's how far back it goes. One more, Madeleine Albright became the first woman to serve as United States Secretary of State on this day in 1997. All right, back to the music. Robin Zander, the lead singer of Cheap Trick, was born on this day in 1953. And this isn't an original Cheap Trick song, but it's one of my favorites. Do you know where Robin Zander was born, lead singer of Cheap Trick?
Aren't they out of Rockford?
Beloit.
There
yes,
you go.
They're probably, maybe the band is out of Rocker, but Robin Zander, born on this day 70 years ago in Beloit. And then you'll notice a theme here that's an Elvis Presley remake, and you'll hear more in a second. But also 1957, American inventor Walter Morrison sold the rights to his flying disc to the Wham-O Toy Company, which later renames it the Frisbee. So the Frisbee dates back to 1957. Remember Wham-O commercials used to be everywhere. It was like Wham-O was putting out a new toy every week.
Yeah, that was back in the Jarts era.
Oh, God, the Jarts. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing any child is still alive in this country.
Do I want to ask what Jarts are?
Lawn darts. Large darts. Large metal darts that you threw at a target on the lawn, but usually ended up impaling somebody in the chest who was too close to the target.
That's what I thought. I just didn't know the name of them. I just remembered hearing about the
lawn darts. Yeah,
that were Jarts.
Just crazy. All right, we were playing an Elvis remake. Let's play the real thing. Here's Elvis from 1969.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
Seems like a good place for Kristen to come in here.
Because I love you too much, baby.
I can't tell the difference between the two, Aaron. Can you? I couldn't.
The only reason I can is because of the lag with it over the internet. It's only because they're not at the exact same time for the listeners.
There you go.
Sorry.
It was on this day in 1969 that Elvis stepped into a small studio in Memphis at American Sound Studios and recorded Suspicious Minds, a huge comeback hit for Elvis, giving him, this was his final number one hit in America. And we'll keep Elvis running because it was on this day in 1986 that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted its first members, which of course included Elvis, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Vanilla Ice. All part of
Vanilla
the-
Ice.
I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Milli Vanilli. All inducted. And
Pat, I love the Everly Brothers.
Oh, what's not to love? I mean, the Beatles said they were so inspired by the Everly Brothers. Love them so much. Yes, mm-hmm. The harmonies. One last musical note. This day in 1999, here's Eagle Eye Cherry with their debut single, Save Tonight. It peaked at number 5 on this day in 1999.
The curtains, because all we need is candlelight. You and me and a bottle of wine.
Again, 1999 from Eagle Eye Cherry. I was telling you over the... Yes, Kristen.
You forgot in 2010, someone's debut album hit number one. Do you know who it was, Pat?
No.
It was fueled by the viral song Tick Tock.
Oh, Kesha. Yes. Yes. We did. You know what? And the reason I didn't include that, I did see that, but we did a few weeks back when Tick Tock came out. So we just didn't double up on it. But yes, thank you for the reminder of that.
I just love it when you go into Kesha history, just to hear you say Kesha.
Really?
Yes.
Kesha does that for you? All right.
Not for me.
Okay. All right. I recommended to Kristen over the break, and I'm going to share it here again. Here's a show you didn't think that I would like, but Wednesday, the show about Wednesday Addams on Netflix. Really mm-hmm. good. I was very surprised to like it as much as I did, although I shouldn't. Because again, we're talking about, you know, women who are smart, sarcastic, funny, have a quick comeback. What's not to love about that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not you. I mean,
wish I had a better comeback to that.
I was going to say you're our Goldilocks end of the spectrum, and then there's our dark goth end of things. So Wednesday, very happy about that. All right, I got just enough time to say that you are going to be busy yet again today talking mm-hmm. to folks about the 1849 abortion ban. And yeah, the legislature is the one that can put something on the ballot. So I don't know what it is. What else can be done? I'm sure you're going to be asked about that today.
Yeah, I'm headed down to Madison to do a press conference with Representative Lisa Subak, who you had on last week, and mm-hmm. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard and some other folks. And we are going to try to encourage the legislature to put the question to the people. Should Wisconsin's 1849 ban stay?
All right. So we'll be hearing more about that in the news later today, I am sure. Dr. Lyerly, mm-hmm. You do so much. Thanks for carving out some time for us today.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Wonderful. Safe travels to you. When we come back, we will talk more about the headlines. We will hear from the Sunday talk shows from Bob Spindell, the Wisconsin Elections Commission member who refuses to step down. You're up north.